Hi everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the week in review and preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation is primarily focused on the March CPI print. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Mike Gord, Asset Allocation Strategist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Mike, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Hey Siobhan. Yeah, thanks for having me, and happy Friday.
Perfect. Happy Friday, Mike. So let's get started. Let's begin with the highly anticipated March CPI print. The hotter than expected print resulted in investor concern over the emergence of a pattern. What is CIO's take on the data?
Diving into the numbers first. So headline and core CPI both came in on a month over month basis, a rounded basis at 0.4%. Wall Street economists were looking for around a number of 0.3%. So this was a high number. That said, it is considered what is quote unquote a low four because the unrounded figure was 0.359. So it just was high enough to round up to four versus rounding down to three. But regardless, it's above expectations, and the market did react accordingly. The S&P initially sold off. Rates traders bid up 10-year treasury yields by about 15 basis points towards the 4.5% level. And the core inflation, it's still being driven by services. And if we look in year-over-year terms, so for the past year, core goods inflation is actually negative 0.7%, but services is up 5.4%. So look, the Fed has been really focused on the version of core services that excludes shelter costs, because this is kind of the most sensitive to things like wage growth and the strength of demand and gives them the best underlying read. But in this category, prices actually rose 0.65% month over month. So really well above levels that the Fed would like to see before getting comfortable with cutting rates. So that's the numbers. Now, our view here in CIO, we are clearly getting an emergence of a pattern here. This is now three strong months of inflation data with Jan, February, and March. So look, that's obviously pushing back on both the Fed's narrative and expectations. That said, while it is proving stickier, there are plenty of reasons that we do still expect inflation to move lower over time, and these high nominal interest rates will continue to weigh on economic growth. One of the bright spots, for example, has been consumption, which has been surprisingly strong this year. But again, in this same vein, more households are using up those excess savings that were built up. More households have things like credit card rates are at record highs. More people are carrying debt. All of these things, leading us to believe that spending will have to slow in the coming months and thereby weighing on overall economic growth. So that's our view there, Siobhan.
So now sticking with the Fed, pre the release of the March CPI print, we did hear from a couple of Fed speakers earlier in the week. Anything to take away from their remarks as to how monetary policy might evolve from here? Further, what is CIO's current view on the prospects for rate cuts in 2024?
We did get some comments. There were a couple of notable Fed speakers out there this week. So we got comments from both Barkin and Williams yesterday. That's Thursday morning. Williams suggested that inflation will approach the Fed's 2% target next year and that it still has a ways to go. He was quoted as saying, and I quote, "The economy has come a long way toward achieving better balance and reaching our 2% inflation goal, but we have not seen the total alignment of our dual mandate quite yet," end quote. So to me, that suggests that, he needs to see further progress on the stable prices side of their mandate. Again, the other side being maximum unemployment, which, we know unemployment rates are still quite low. So they're definitely comfortable on that side for now. So they would need to get more comfortable on the stable prices side before they really start thinking about cutting rates. I would say we got similar comments from Thomas Barkin, who suggested that we are not where we need to be on inflation, but we're headed in the right direction, and the timing of cuts will depend on that incoming data. Again, stressing the Fed's data dependence and political independence, especially as we do approach the election season this fall. Now, here in CIO, we actually did change our forecast for Fed rate cuts on the back of this week's CPI release. We are removing our expectation for a 25 basis point cut in June, and now we see just 2 25 basis point cuts this year, with the first likely coming at the September meeting. The Fed had been saying that they need further confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. But since basically the end of the third quarter of 2023, CPI and core CPI has come in flat to hotter. So clearly, you know, it's bucking that trend that the FOMC was really looking for in anticipating those rate cuts. So that's our new view, 2 cuts this year, first one coming in September.
So as we come to the end of our conversation, I want to turn to next week. What is taking place that investors should be mindful of?
Yeah, so the big one for next week, we get early in the week. That's the retail sales figures for March. And the reason this is important is because it's one of the final indicators that we get that will give us an early sense of how the final first quarter GDP growth is looking. So for reference, the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now tracker, it's currently tracking first quarter GDP around 2.4%. But this could be, swung in either direction based on how these retail sales come in. The other big release, of course, next week is the Beige Book on Wednesday, where we do get additional color from the regional feds on how various businesses across the country are reacting to this rates and inflation dynamic, and indications from them that could provide insights into how the labor market might develop over the coming months. So that's what we got next week, and that's it for me, Siobhan.
Thank you so much for joining us, Mike.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, and have a great weekend.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.